We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. It's caught a lot of people by surprise a little bit. He says we are going to be guarding our border with our military. That's a big step. This is what he was telling reporters now at the White House. We cannot have people flowing into our country illegally, disappearing, and by the way, never showing up for court. Now, this is in regards to the caravans and the thousands of people that are coming over the border that's been talked about in the last many days. Gail, you're out there in California way. Gail here. Tell me, what do you think, first of all, about, I mean, these caravans are coming from Honduras, Guatemala. There's a couple of interesting pieces to this story. But what do you think about this comment where he says, hey, we're going to send the military to the border. Do you support that or do you not?
Well, I can tell you Javier Becerra is already filing his lawsuit.
Big time. Yeah. Big time.
Without a doubt. He's my rep and he's a very cool guy.
The attorney general, you're speaking of California. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to fly.
You don't think so?
No. We're the state of sanctuary cities, baby.
Yeah, well, the whole state's a sanctuary state, you know,
yeah,
the whole state.
It sure is. And individually, cities have fly for that.
Well, so, there's a backlash right now, Gail, that's happening.
You see, the thing is, It's a different world when you live in it than when you fly over it. Okay. It's a different world when you visit it and you've grown up in it. 60% of the population of California is not white. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying what it is in non-being white, but white, you're in the minority if you live here.
I see.
And so that is a bouillabaisse of people from everywhere.
Right. It's a melting pot.
It sure is. I mean, diversity. You can't say Los Angeles, you can't say California without saying diversity.
All right, well, that's fair enough. Now let me go on here, because there's a lot with this particular story. But Jim McKay, now you lived out in California. I know Gail lives out there now, but you were out there for many, many years. And in fact, one of the story points here I want to touch on today, and we're going to be jumping into this story more in the upcoming days, but a big surprise here today, Huntington Beach overnight. Just late yesterday, actually, and into the evening here, they said they were going to sue the state of California as well. We heard that there are other cities, towns coming out. What does that say? I mean, this is going to be a big talking point. There seems to be kind of a fight, well, I guess all in the family. They're starting to fight within California. What's your take on it, Jim?
Well, my first place I lived, actually, in California was in Huntington Beach.
Wow.
About a mile from the beach, actually. And delightful town and all, very heavily conservative, large military populations throughout Orange County and San Diego. A lot of people involved in the post-war, Korean War era settled there and have a lot of roots in that area. So California is a very diverse state. I mean, if you go into Los Angeles itself, very liberal. San Francisco, where I lived for almost 20 years in the Bay Area. Very liberal. But if you go across to the East Bay, over the hills, get into the valley, it's very conservative. The entire valley and northern part of California is very conservative. So if you look at the map, you could break the state into two or three places, and you'd have two conservative states and possibly two.
Well, Jim,
let me pick you up on that point a moment here, as I want to go right back to Gail and ask her something, because you bring up a very good point. Gail, we've been talking and we've reported on this network some of the movements in California to really split the state up into, well, as Jim's saying, two states, maybe there's even talk about three or four states, but there's a real big movement out there to split California up. What's your thoughts on that? And what do Californians think about it?
I don't think that they think very much of it. I think it's most people doing that. And I think typically it's probably the banks and the real estate industry that are promoting that are campaigning for that. We're one big dysfunctional, happy family.
Dysfunctional.
That's a typical delusion from a liberal person about California. That is. I'm sorry, but
Hold on. She did say dysfunctional. Now she did. She did nail that down. Come on.
Yeah, well, yeah. Dysfunctional usually has delusions associated with it. The people in San Francisco have really jumped off the edge of the world. I mean, up there, they'll vote for anything and everything. They don't care where the money comes from, who gets taxed for it. I mean, you have these people paying $6,000 a month for a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco.
It's crazy.
Going on private buses to their jobs in Silicon Valley and all. And they don't care if they get hit with another 2% sales tax or another 3% sales tax. Mm-hmm. But the person that lives in the valley, in the agricultural heart of the state, mm-hmm. I mean, what do we have? What do they have out there now? 10% sales tax, 80 cents a gallon on gas.
Wow.
It's insane what they pay in taxes.
Cost of living.
We voted to raise the price of gasoline.
Do you like paying that money?
For it.
Why would you do that, Gail?
They thought it was going for schools in this Proposition 30 that she's talking about.
Oh. Yeah.
And it initially looked like it was going to be a 10-cent raise on the gas tax.
But
12 cents originally. Yeah. But they forgot the other language in there that says every 6 months it goes up a nickel and a dime for the next 5 years.
Wow.
So they got, you know, they do these little things in the small print in these propositions. You know, California is the land of propositions in more ways than one.
Hey, Gail, do you like spending that money on gas out there that Jim points out? I mean, that's pretty. I mean, the gas taxes and stuff are crazy, aren't they? The cost of living.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I visit family in other states, our gas is truly $2 less per gallon.
Oh my! You must feel like you died and went to heaven. So what? So stop there a minute. Now, then if that's all happening, do you like that? Do you like paying more? What's the trade-off?
And here's the rationale, and you could call it the rationale, but a lot of people say it's the price for living in California. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. For a woman, it means a lot, especially a woman in business. Okay. It means a lot. Okay. It's very progressive. For the LGBT community, it means everything.
Can I interrupt for a minute? Specifically, when you say it means a lot, what does it mean for them that is different from any other person or any other ethnic group? When you say it means a lot for LGBT, California is very tolerant and always has been of the gay community. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had gay representatives in government here for years. So the gas tax is doing nothing for them, and it's doing nothing for the highways in California. So if you can tell anybody where the gas tax is going, that would be, an epiphany, in my opinion.
No, I'm just saying that if you took 10 people and asked each of them, why would you have paying $5 a gallon for gas? Why is it the price of living in California? What's the benefit? You would get 10 different answers.
Sure.
I'm just trying to set the table a little bit to sort of, you know, for somebody that doesn't live here to sort of get an idea of why in the hell would somebody live there?
Right.
Well,
right.
It would depend upon where you're leaning. I mean, I know people that won't even go to Orange County because it's so conservative.
Yeah.
And then again, I know people that live in Orange County. I have a lot of Republican friends that wouldn't come to LA because there's too many damn liberals. So I get it.
Well, back to the dysfunctional and diversity, that all sort of sounds like it's a marriage made in heaven then. So for those people who are talking about building a border wall to the east of California, separated from the continental United States, what do you say to that, Gail?
There already is one. It's called Terrible Highways.
So I'm just saying, Gail, it's your conversation. I'm just saying. People are saying that, actually.
Friends in Vegas and in Reno and in Phoenix. No.
All right. I'm just checking out.
Everyone that sold their property in the San Fernando Valley and made a killing is living in Reno or Las Vegas and paying lower.
Well, I have to tell you, Jim, let me say this, and then I want to hold on a minute here. There's some other stories I want to talk about real quickly, and then we got to introduce everybody here. But Jim, I will say this: I had dinner with one of my very, very close friends. She's a liberal gal. Her and her husband are out in Marina Del Rey, Santa Monica. We know where that is. Beautiful area, gorgeous.
Oh, beautiful.
And I spent some time out there with them a few years back. A couple times I've done that. They've asked me to move out there a few times. And they have a place in Palm Springs as well. So they're living the good life. And I had this dinner conversation. I was asking her, I said, you know, Linda, and I was, you know, she was asking her dear friend Malcolm and conservative views and back and forth. And, you know, and she's just enamored with the whole California thing. She doesn't mind it at all. They don't mind the high taxes, the paying the gas, the rest of it. I said, well, do you mind the homelessness people sleeping outside your place? I said, is that okay? And, you know, but they seem to have adapted to this way of living. And she chuckles at the thought. I mean, this is a good friend, but she chuckles at the thought that, you know, California would be anything different. So in many ways, Jim, I think there is a dysfunctionality out there that possibly Gail has a point that maybe Californians are enjoying. Oh, not all of Californians, clearly, because there are conservatives out there. Anyways, we're gonna peel more of this onion. This is going to be very interesting, to say the least. Very, very interesting. There are some other stories here today I want to bring people up on, beside California, beside that big caravan, which started this conversation, by the way, the people that are coming in from Honduras and Guatemala. The president comes out with a tweet, and he's using NAFTA. So Mexico, and I want to tell you a little bit what Mexico's response was on the president's threat on NAFTA, you know, which is a cash cow for Mexico. We'll talk about that here as well. Also, what's going on with Scott Pruitt? That's another trending story this afternoon, friends. Interesting story coming out of a tweet from one of the Atlantic reporters. But this has been trending all afternoon on Twitter and on other social media outlets. Seems like he has done some hanky-panky there with a couple of people. I don't know, getting us. I'll tell you more about this, but it looks like Scott Pruitt's days as the EPA director are going to be short-lived, from what I can see from this story. Expect a change there, too. I'll tell you my prediction up front here. Also, another Orange County city, I was telling you, is going to fight the sanctuary state city status there, Huntington Beach. That story is going to continue to grow here. Fascinating stories about Roseanne, that sitcom that may not be all what you think as far as the support for the president or not. We'll touch on that as well. Also, what's going on with Laura Ingraham. Laura Ingraham is on holiday this week after that crazy tweet and then the fight that she's had, the public fight with David Hogg. My friends, there's a lot happening with Nozzle here today. Let's take just a moment here and let me introduce you again to our guest host today here. Let's start with Gail Murphy.
Well, I'm Gail Murphy. I'm an award-winning Hollywood correspondent, formerly of ABC News, and I currently work with BBC News and Sky News in the UK. I call myself the celebritizer. I'm a media and presentational coach. I wrote a book called Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered. So I teach people how to tell it to sell it. I am a sort of a media savant. So
that's a good way to put it, a media savant.
I'm up to my elbows in it, honey.
You're up to your elbows.
And I'm a self-confessed, not in recovery, media junkie.
All right. Well, you're up to your elbows. Jim is up to his ass in alligators. So, Jim McKay, tell folks about yourself, please.
Yeah, literally down here.
Exactly. In the swamp.
Enough.
You're literally on near the swamp there, Jim. Go ahead.
A couple of miles away. But I'm a retired industrialist. Spent a lot of time in Silicon Valley with companies like Apple Computer and others there for a number of years, early days, which have facilitated my retirement, thank God. now I'm a more of a, as you would say, maybe a political junkie, political commentator. I'm one of the co-producers of the Viewpoint, the Sunday show that we do here on the network,
right,
and just enjoying the good life these days.
My friends, you're in for a treat today. More Nozzle in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
So in early March, the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator, the EPA Director, really, Scott Pruitt, and he's been in the, you've been hearing him in the news quite a bit in recent days here, friends, with some travel problems. There have been a lot of travel issues with some of the cabinet members there. He's one of the cats that were kind of reprimanded, if you will. So he approached the White House with a request. He wanted substantial pay raises for two of his closest aides. Now, to set the record straight here, these aides came with him from Oklahoma. So they came with him into the Fed. So he knows these people really well. They're sort of cohorts with him, if you will, if I'm saying this properly here. So you know what I mean. So they're people he's brought along with him. He feels, you know, obligated to help them along. Nothing wrong with that. So he asked that Greenwald's salary be raised from $107,000 to $164,000. Now, guys, that's a hell of a raise. $107,000 to $164,000. That's a big raise, no question. Now, Hupp's, this other one, his other cohort here, he wanted to go from $86,000 to $114,000. Still a pretty good raise here, obviously. Because both women were political appointees, now follow what I'm telling you here now, he needed the White House to sign off on their new pay. So he went to the White House to get them to sign off, and the White House said, no, you cannot raise their pays. So sorry. So no, can't pass go, can't collect $200. So, and the White House is pretty frugal. I mean, he's a pretty frugal cat out there. So they were neglected. It was a no, big fat no. Well, he finds another way to do it. So according to sources here now, with direct knowledge of this here, what he did is, according to the source here, the staffers from the Presidential Personnel Office, they dismissed Pruitt's application. The White House said no. So there's a provision. He found another way to do this. And there's a provision of the Safe Drinking Water Act that allows the EPA administrator to hire up to 30 people into the agency without White House or congressional approval, Jim. Now, they don't need any approval for this. He can do this. You understand? Because he's the director. So the provision meant to help expedite the hiring of experts and allow for more flexible staff. And this became law in 96. And this is how they do this. So what he did is he used that clause, gave them the raises, even though he was told no. And this was after the White House rejected this request. So this is the way his team sort of circumvented the whole program, if you will. Well, they found out about it. Now it's becoming a media blitz and a bit of a nightmare for our dear friend Pruitt here. And it looks like he's in a bit of a heap of trouble, Jim. What do you think of the story?
Well, I think the story has legs to it. And I think the legs that are going to be walking the fastest is Pruitt out of office.
Exactly.
If I was his boss, he would have been gone 10 minutes after I heard that.
Right.
No discussion, no waste of time. We'd pack his office and send him home. That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's insane. That's absolutely insane what he's doing.
It is. And he's doing this kind of as a favor to these cats and all. Gail, this is White House that told him no. He goes ahead and he finds another way to do it and does it anyway. Now he's got egg on his face. You think he's going to make it here?
Well, this should be, this activity should be of no surprise to anyone, because Scott Pruitt's been a sneaky bugger for a really, really long time. He has a very sordid track record with the EPA in terms of suing them when he was in office in Oklahoma. He detested the EPA. He's just last month, he put in for $100,000 a month to take private jets.
Perfect. Yeah, he got in trouble for that. By the way, perfect guy to put in charge of the EPA if he detested. That's a hell of a victory there.
Talk about the wolf in the hen house.
Exactly. I love it.
And then there was this little soiree with the owners of these lobbyists, this wife of a lobbyist who owns a townhouse in Georgetown or down the street from the White House, where he was paying $50 every time he was staying there. And then he took money to fly to a European country to promote the lobbyists' cause regarding natural gas. So this is a guy that
Well, he doesn't follow the rules, clearly. Oh, that's number one. Number two, he was already reprimanded, Gail, for this travel business. He's not the only one, because he did some travel he shouldn't have with his wife, I think it was, in fact, I believe.
Well,
at least it wasn't his girlfriend. But, Gail, look at the bright side. At least it wasn't his girlfriend or his mistress or bitch. I mean, that can't be too bad, right?
Yeah, they're on the payroll.
He's trying to get them the razors. Those are the cats he's probably sleeping with. Gail, what do you think?
Well, you know what? With all due respect to what's going on in the White House, it would have been better if it had been his girlfriend, as long as she wasn't a porn actress.
I don't agree with that.
Sneaky bugger. This guy is a sneaky bugger.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm going to defend this a moment. Hold on, sister. One second. I'm going to reprimand you a moment here, my dear love, because here's the deal. The White House, let me explain this to everybody in English. The White House is the one that told Pruitt, boy, he cannot do, they told him, no, you cannot give the raises, and they're the ones that got in his face. So I can tell you right now, my friend, this president is probably going to end up dismissing this guy before too long. It's going to happen, I'm sure. With the travel problem and now this. But listen, I'm going to defend the White House in this case. They told him not to give those raises, and he went ahead and did what the hell he wanted to do. So what's wrong with that picture?
I totally agree with you.
Okay.
Oh, no. I totally agree with you.
Right.
But you know what? Scott Pruitt, just this morning, lifted all the Obama restrictions on emissions from cars and trucks. So Pruitt is doing the dirty work that he can't get anybody else to do. So on paper, as sneaky and as bad as he looks, and playing outside the rules, he's still a really good henchman.
All right, Jim, what do you say to that?
First thing, he didn't lift all the restrictions. What he did was he lifted the future restrictions that go into effect in 2025, in 2021 or 22.
That's what understood.
He also made an exemption for the state of California to have their own restrictions immediately or whenever they want to. First of all, I believe the EPA is a useless organization in Washington. It's so out of touch with the 50 different states. I think California...
Worse than the education department? Worse than the education department, Jim?
No, that's about on the same level.
All right.
But
having
lived there for over 20 years in California, California does a good job with its own EPA. We don't need the feds telling us what to do.
There you go.
Neither does Wyoming or Ohio.
Well, hold on. Now, what's wrong with that picture, Gail? So Jim's saying give the power to the states and keep the federal government the hell out of it. What's wrong with that? Let California do what the hell they're going to do, or Oklahoma. What's wrong with that?
Well, we do it anyway. But I think
that's for sure.
Why pay for a huge Washington bureaucracy?
There you go.
I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things about Jim, that Malcolm knows is that I am not an either-or person. I believe it's the right tool for the right time. And I think in the case of some states, they probably would like that government, those government regulations, because maybe they don't collect enough in income taxes. It's a poorer state. So in some cases, for some states, that might work, just because maybe they get a lot of weather issues, or their state is on the decline. And then you have a rich state like California, which in so many ways can take care of its own business.
Rich in what? Rich in what? They're going bankrupt.
Yeah. Rich in debt is what they
rich
are.
In Texas, taxes and debt. But honey, they're not rich.
Rich in the fact that they can take care of themselves, or they. As you say, they are going to be able to make their own
decisions. Well, they got to make their own decisions, but they have their hands out quite a bit right now to the federal government. They're asking the federal government for money to do their bullet trains. They're asking the federal government for other monies. So I don't know about rich. I think that's an overstatement, love. But I do think the power should be at the state level. I think the feds have gotten too big, and I think you can say the same thing about education. Bring the education down to the state level. Let local municipalities and cities, towns make these decisions that are good for their people. And this is what's happened with big bloated government that is dysfunctional. Very, very interesting conversation. Listen, I want to move the ball along here, guys, because I want to talk to you here. Other couple of big stories I want to get into. Before I jump into Laura Ingraham, and I want to talk about this very interesting position on the Roseanne show that has been a big, big talking point here nationally here around the country. Gail, don't look now. But I want to share with you something that might floor you, but you'll probably know this already or have a comeback because you are one of the most well-read people I know. And certainly know what's going on out there. But here's the deal. Poll numbers. Yeah. At this point of the presidency, if you compare President Trump to President Obama and even President Bush for that matter, I think you'll find that President Trump right now is at about 50%, the reports here, and Obama was about 46%. This is according to Rasmussen here, their reports, or Rasmussen, you know what I'm talking about here. So he actually is not doing too bad. He's made up some ground, Gail. I think the people kind of like him.
Is that 50% among Republicans?
No, that's 50%? All Americans. That's a great question. In fact, he could actually do, you remember Sally Field when she was at the awards? She said, oh, the people like me. They really like me. That's what Trump's doing right now, by the way. The people like, you can see him up there, Gail. The people like me. They really like.
What? It's shameful. Shameful.
Shameful. Yeah. Shameful. Well, he was a promoter. He certainly knows how to promote himself, love. That's for damn sure, you know?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't give him credit, he'll take it.
He knows how to do that and stiff contractors. He's really good that way.
Well, listen, I don't think any of us have a pot of gold and a rainbow in our lives, honey. We've all done some stupid shit along the way here. Let's call it as it is, Gail. I mean, there's nobody perfect. And I'll tell you, when you look at the whole political class, you could get a nitpick any politician, Democrat, Republican, Independent. They're all crooks and thieves. So what's your point?
Well, Trump's not a politician.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah, well, I think most Americans are celebrating that point. I mean, because, listen, a lot of people were never Trumpers. I mean, there are people on our platform, conservatives that were never Trumpers. But, you know, they've kind of seen the light, Gail, and they kind of like this disruptive. He's a disruptor is what he is. You're so right. He's rocking the canoe, and he's pissing off a lot of people. And, of course, a lot of people are liking it, too, you see. I mean, and that's kind of what you got going here with this whole deal. One thing about it is he did hit the ground running. There are a lot of things that happen. That have happened. Gail, I want to ask you straight out here something about, because I know you to be a very reasonably minded person who gets it. I mean, I do believe you do. And I want to ask you this with the southern border. All right, the president ran on this campaign about securing and protecting our borders and becoming back again what we call a sovereign nation. And it's not just the southern border. We got problems on the northern border, too, that nobody's talking about, by the way. But focusing right now, there's this whole mix of conversation of immigration and that the media heads and the politicians have twisted illegal immigration and legal immigration. What they've done is they've tried to twist it, whereas like, oh, you don't, you know, you're a racist, you're a xenophobe, you don't like immigrants. And I think everybody recognizes that we're a country of immigrants. I think legal immigration, everybody I know in my world would embrace that. I don't know anybody in my Rolodex that I would invite to my holiday party, Gail, that doesn't know that part of it, for real. But I think illegal immigration is another problem that the Congress and the administrations, current and previous, going back decades now, have not fixed our immigration problem. You take a look at California. You look at the homelessness. You look at the tent cities. You look at what's going on in the interstates out there. You see these caravans of people coming over the border and defying all of it from other countries right through Mexico. I mean, is that the quality of life that you want to have in California?
Well, you know, this homeless problem started in the 80s. I was doing talk radio at the time, and Reagan was president. Mm-hmm. And, that was part of Reagan's thing in terms of, and I can't, you know, I haven't talked about this in so long, so I can't remember what actually precipitated it. And the end, but the end result was that it was a tremendous amount of homelessness.
Well, let's talk about current day, though, love. I don't care about Reagan's gone. Let's talk about right now, today. Do you want that kind of lifestyle out there?
Well, I'm not. No. We just passed a measure in Los Angeles for $100 million to solve the problem of homelessness in Los Angeles. It's more severe here than anywhere else.
What I want to ask specifically, though, is, okay, I understand the homelessness thing, and solving it is a big deal, and I know you're all over that. You're involved in a lot of political activist groups. That's all good. What I'm asking specifically is, are you comfortable, yourself now, and others that you know, with having people just flood across the border? Illegal immigration, illegal. People busting the law. Are you okay with that?
From what I know, that there's been that is a statistic that no longer applies, that they're not flooding over quite so much because you have this.
Well, yeah, it's down from millions a year to a couple hundred thousand a month. I mean, so what's the difference? Seriously, I mean, if you have 100,000 people coming across the border in the nice weather months, yeah, they don't come when it's wet and raining or anything, but if they starts in April, May, June, July, August, you're getting 100,000 to 150,000 people a month coming across the borders, not just in California.
Well,
but
Homeland
Arizona.
Security has done a very good job down there. Let's call it as it is. And the president has had some tough reinforcements down there. Let me get this out here and tell folks right now.
Basically, you're talking about illegal immigration.
Illegal. It's what I said three times.
Illegal is illegal.
Well, hold now, sister. Hold on, my dear love, sister Gail, the love of my life. Hold on now. But the people don't understand what illegal is. When you say that, listen to me, Gail, this is a real problem. And here's what people are not getting. We are not enforcing our laws. We are not holding illegal.
What is the reason we're not enforcing our laws?
Well, you tell me, love. It's your party and your people out there who are not enforcing the laws, my love. I don't know. They seem to live in some fairy tale land that just thinks that open borders are going to be good for the citizens of California. I love the people of California, Gail. Let me let you in a little secret. I got a lot of friends out there, Gail. I think this, I'm worried about the community out there. I'd like to see California stay part of the United States of America. How do we make that happen?
From what I understand and the statistics that I've looked at is that Obama deported more immigrants than any other president.
That is not true. That's not true. That is baloney.
What Obama did was he counted a deportation as somebody who walked across the border and was immediately turned around and was never legal in the United States. Right now, if you come into the United States and the Border Patrol takes you into custody, you're given a misdemeanor ticket.
And they let you free in the U.S., in the interior of the country. What the hell kind of a program is this?
Hey, Malcolm, your people are in power right now.
Yeah.
They've been
well,
in power.
These are not my people. These people have been screwing this. Gail.
Why did they come up with
14 months.
These people have been, Gail, let me be clear with you. Again, illegal immigration has been a problem going on for 30 years, crossing all administrations. This is not about anybody's people. Gail,
your
I'm going to
the first week.
I'm going to say to you, I really believe in my heart of hearts, Gail. I'm not being funny here. This is an American problem. It's not a Democrat problem. It's not a Republican problem. This is an American problem.
I would agree. You more.
Okay. All right. So let me say this now. Hold on.
And as Gail said,
all right,
President Trump has decreased illegal immigration coming across the southern border by 60% in the last 14 months.
It's been amazing the work they've done down there. He made it a priority based on his campaign. But let me tell folks what I need to tell them right now about this story here. Here's Mexico's response now. So the authorities down in Mexico, they responded to Trump's tweet. Now, the tweet Trump put out over the weekend was, and actually this one was even today, the big caravan of people from Honduras now coming across Mexico and heading to our weak laws border had better be stopped before it gets here. Cash cow NAFTA, is in play as is foreign aid to Honduras and the countries that allow this to happen. Congress must act now. He's all about NAFTA, tying NAFTA. People went crazy. Now, the authorities in the Mexican government came out, and with Trump's threat to kill NAFTA, because it is a cash cow for them, Gail. I mean, they're eating their breakfast, lunch, and dinner off of this thing. So is Canada, by the way.
It's a two-way street. That's why they call it trade.
Well, but it's not a two-way street. It's a one-way street with a bad couple of U-turns and a curve that drops right off a freaking cliff down into a dungeon. Because of our freaking presidents, both Democrat and Republican, over the last 20 years, who have butchered our trade laws. When you look at Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., they are eating our breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'm telling you, as well as other countries in Europe, South Korea, they were eating our dessert with it. Anyways, and this is, Gail, this is just politicians. This isn't Republican or Democrat, because they both are dysfunctional, I'm telling you, love. And this is against politicians in general. But let me finish telling you this here. So the Mexico government comes out, and because of Trump's threat to kill NAFTA by pledging to disband the caravan and allowing some transmitters to apply for asylum in Mexico, they are now pledging. This is what they're doing. They're going to pledge to disband the caravan and allow some of these people to apply for asylum in Mexico. So they said to Trump, they heard Trump's tweet, Gail, the president's been in touch with him down there, and he said, you are not sending these people over the border again. Now he's sent, now today, just a little while ago here, another breaking news story on this point, my friends, is that he said he's furious. He's planning to send the military down there. He's got Mattis up there, and he wants it stopped because they have pictures of caravans of people coming through all these countries, coming into the U.S., and once they get here, they can't do a damn thing about it, Gail, because the laws just tell them you cannot lock them up. They can pass go. They can collect 200. They can keep their hand out. More nozzle in just a minute here. Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Today, Fox News came out and they said they stand and support Laura Ingraham. They said she's not going anywhere. And this was after sort of a movement that sort of percolated in social media. That's what I love about social media, is it's an activist game. You can get in hashtag and get things viral. And I know you know all about that, Gail. It works. It can work. And so one of the hashtags, I Stand With Laura, started to go viral, and people got involved and using the hashtag I Stand With Laura, and they posted their commitments to social media, and this was a counter boycott, if you will. But it all started with this tweet that Laura put out against Dave. First, she, you know, Gail, I want to talk to you first about this, because at first she did a really good interview talk with David Hogg. If you watch the initial interview, it was solid. She had him on right when the episode happened, but there's a lot of controversy that they're saying David Hogg lied, that he wasn't in the school. They have a video of him, which is also trending on social media, which shows him at home at the time, which he rode a bike out there. And so there are two different stories, and he's kind of been caught in a double lie there with whether he was in the school or not in the school or at home. And then things begin to get very murky from there. Where Laura stuck her foot in it was with a tweet she put out that said David Hogg rejected by four colleges to which he applied and whines about it. Dinged by UCLA with a 4.1 GPA, totally predictable given acceptance rates. That was a tweet that really shocked a lot of people, because this is a kid, a student, you know, was he like 19 years old, Gail, or something like that, you know?
No, he's a senior in high school. He's 18.
Okay, 18, 19, whatever. But he's right there. He's an adult as well, but he is a young guy. And, you know, why anybody would go after a student, and certainly one where they had, I mean, I don't think that was a good strategy for any talk show host to go after. I mean, including Laura Ingraham or anybody else, but that created a flock of advertisers that were going to leave Laura Ingraham, and it was a pretty extensive list. And
it's 16, and they're gone.
Well, but now there's a counter. Well, you say that now, but what's interesting is there is
it's going to change in 5 minutes. That's how fluid this
exactly,
story is.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
You got to get it from that. There's no absolutes. We're talking about the news. It's constantly
you're right.
evolving.
You're totally
changing.
Right. You're totally right. So, yeah.
Nothing absolute.
Yeah, no, no. Yeah, 100%. I agree with that totally. And that's the way it is. That's the way it should be. And so basically, there's been a counter boycott now where a lot of conservative voices said, hey, wait a minute. We don't agree with this. And so they started to do a counter boycott on these companies. And now it sort of is swinging the other way. And this thing is a fluid story, as you just said. So we don't know where it's going to end. But what do you think about it?
I can tell you with complete authority, at least I think, of why the sponsors are boycotting.
Okay.
I have no idea why this other side is boycotting, and what are they boycotting specifically?
They're boycotting the boycott on Laura.
Been attacking a kid?
Well, no, I'm telling you, Gail, they're boycotting the boycott on Laura.
What is that?
Well, the boycott on Laura was the fact that, again, people got this Hogs kid, the young student here, he was not going to take... Laura came out and apologized. Let me get this story straight so everybody knows. He came out and apologized. She did. Laura Ingram, she gave a real apology and said she was sorry.
No, it wasn't. It was a very flaccid... Very flaccid.
Well, okay, we can.
She quoted herself in there. Did you read the apology that Frank Stallone sent to David Hogg? Oh my God, it rips.
Let me tell folks here. Here are the companies that. Here's the story. The companies that boycotted Ingram are major household names. They're names like Office Depot, Gerber baby food kind of thing, Hulu, Honda, Johnson & Johnson.
Jenny.
What's that?
Yeah.
Johnson & Johnson.
Jenny.
Well, these are a few of the companies that boycotted. It swelled to about 17 companies or so. And then there was a backlash that people felt that she was being attacked erroneously. And they felt, and then she, the student didn't take her apology. When she apologized, whether you like her apology or not, I mean, you can slice the avocado many different ways here, but at least she did get up there and apologize. Listen, I don't think she should have ever sent the tweet out to begin with. And I want to ask you, Jim, what the hell? What the hell would behoove somebody, a successful television radio host like a Laura Ingram, whoever it is, what would make her want to throw a tweet out to hit this student from a school? No matter you like the kid or you don't like the kid, she obviously had him on. She thanked him really well. In fact, if you watch that initial video where he was on her show, they were both liking each other a lot. He liked her. She liked him. It was a very, very solid interview. What would give her the sense that she had to throw a tweet out and insult him in the way that she did, Jim, about his school and his college and make fun of his grades and whining about it? Why would she do that?
I think it's just a bad timing, a bad moment that somebody does something that, you know, you open your mouth before your brain's engaged and the words come out and you do something stupid. And she apologized basically for doing that. Not for his behavior and his activity, but for her own callous remarks in doing it. People do stupid things. That's the only thing I can say.
Well, they do. They do. Now, Gail was outraged about this when she reached me a few days ago. Gail was outraged. And quite frankly, you know, we didn't know where the story was going to go at that point. Now, answer to this before Gail responds, Jim, say one other thing to us, please. The kid here, David Hogg here, tell us how, when we talk about him being ruthless a moment, because I haven't followed his antics, quite honestly, a lot. I don't really know the answer. So how, I know he's been pretty persistent in loving the publicity, and his sister is as well. I mean, they're becoming celebrities overnight. But a lot of people think they're being used by the gun movement and all of that business, and that's a whole other conversation. But what is it that he has done that is so in the face of all this, this David Hogg guy? Jim.
Yeah, well, he's gone out and he's gotten the publicity and he's been a spokesperson for that the anti-gun or the guess you'd call it the Peace in Schools program, or you know, it has a lot of different names and stuff. Right. And then he comes out and he says, well, he has a 4.1 average and UCLA didn't admit him.
And Laura, for whatever reason, decided she was going to comment on his tweet, and so she then hit him right with this.
Yeah, it's exactly. If you're going to be a big boy and you're going to be on the stage with everybody and you're going to get a name and you're going to get publicity and you have a movement, then don't bring the bullshit about, excuse my language, about not getting accepted to UCLA or three other schools that you applied
into
almost, the main.
Yeah, that part of the point is almost like a really ridiculous part of the story, Gail, in many ways. The part I don't even know what the hell it had to do with anything.
Guys sound like crabby old Mr. Wilson.
Jim really does that, you mean?
You're victimizing the victim.
Well, talk to us. Tell me.
Okay, so I kept thinking when this is happening.
Who's being crabby old Mr. Wilson, first of all, Jim or me?
You both are.
Oh, come on, Gail. How can you say that, love? I mean, I can see you saying that about Jim, but not me. Come on.
That's the same defense they use for illegals in the country.
Go ahead, Gail. Jim, we better be quiet a minute. Go ahead, Gail. You got the floor.
So I kept thinking, what was she not thinking? Why did she do it? I mean, I did talk radio for 6 years. I mean, my friends do talk radio. I get it. I'm on social media, too. So in my gut, I get that she did it to appeal to her audience.
Right.
She's in the entertainment business. It would give them a quick rise. It would be great TV. It would be like, no, she didn't. It would be disposable, no big thing.
Right.
Say it and move on, because then she wouldn't have to take any responsibility for it. Like a kid stealing stuff in the 99 cent store, she'd get a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, nothing's disposable on social media today.
Okay. Here's the reality. Mm-hmm. She's a 40 frickin' something year old woman.
Mm-hmm.
She is so far in her own reflection, in her own bubble, that it's robbed her of her humanity and normalized her to herself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did she forget she was on TV?
Mm-hmm.
Did she forget she was on Twitter?
Right.
And that everybody saw and heard that she was attacking a high school student?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kids?
All right.
This is the reckoning.
Yeah, gotcha. All right. And Jim, what do you say? Do you have an answer back to that real quick before we move on?
My quick answer is, when he got into the arena, he was no longer a high school kid. That's
what
it.
Pushed him into
he
the
leaves that high. Come on, you know, if he would have shot somebody, an 18-year-old shoots somebody, he gets tried as an adult. That's a fact of life.
Where is your humanity?
You cross over the line.
17 of his friends die, for God's sake.
Yeah.
He's a high school student.
And I had 58,000 of my friends die in Vietnam.
Ooh, I get it.
Boy.
I get
so,
it.
Okay.
I get it. And you know what? When I meet people like you, I say thank you for your service.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is an issue of humanity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was doing a great job as a spokesperson for the movement. He should not have brought his personal concerns take advantage of the platform and brought
them. He's on social media.
Listen,
he's a teenager. All right,
so let me say this. I want to move the story along to another big story and talk to you both about something. But let me just say this, that social media is fair game for everybody. There's no question about it. This kid gets in there. You're right in the sense he is an adult, in the sense that he is an adult. I get that. When he puts a tweet out there like that, in many ways, Jim, Gail's point of the fact that he's put an opinion out there. Social media is a media of opinions. If you want to put your personal laundry out there, like you didn't get accepted into a college because of the GPA, I guess that's your business. To me, I wouldn't share that personal information from me because I just don't think that's humorous for others to really know. I don't think it's their damn business. But obviously this kid felt, Gail, that he wanted the world to know that he was neglected or rejected from UCLA. Okay, fantastic. Terrific. Was it a dumb tweet? Probably. Did it have any point in the argument of guns? No, it's just a tweet that he put out on social media. Laura Ingraham had no business, I don't care what my conservative friends say, throwing a tweet out that hits this kid in the nuts that says, you know, it's just the timing on it is really disgusting. The fact that there was any school shooting and she talks about him whining about it. Yeah, the kid was whining, but that's what people do on social media. That's what you can be 18 or you can be 81. That's what people, they bitch, whine, gripe, hem, horse, scream, and hoot and holler on social media. That's what social media is. It's where lunatics gather and we tell each other off. I mean, that's what America is. That's why it's so successful. We all got a lot to say in this country. I get it. But come here, people. But, you know, Laura was wrong for doing that. Now, I like Laura Ingraham. I like Laura Ingraham. You, Jim, you agree with what I say?
Absolutely. She should never have said
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
It was a stupid thing to do on her part.
All right. So, Jim, now hold on a minute here. So back to Gail calling us a crusty couple of old men here. I just want to get her to re-correct the record because
so
we... Mr. Wilson, I just want you to know, dear friend Gail, that Jim and I are not accepting this tweet from Laura Ingraham. What's the word I'm looking for, Jim? We decline it. We negate it. We don't like it.
She apologized. Move on.
Move on. Okay, so I just want you to know, okay?
Hey, you were crusty old man. I said you sound like
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson.
All right, fair enough. You could call me anything. I'd still love you, Gail. It's all right, man. It's all right.
At this point, you say, I'm not Mr. Wilson. He's Mr. Wilson.
Well, listen, I love Jim, but I ain't taking the fall. Come on. Now, that's, at least I'm being honest. What the hell?
Jim did it.
Jim's got bigger pants than I, Gail. He can put them up there like that, you know. So it works okay. All right, let me talk to you both about this show, Roseanne. Now, I got to ask you both, I have not seen an episode yet, but I want to ask you both, Jim, Gail, have either of you seen the show?
Yeah, there's only one episode so far.
Oh, the second one's tonight, right?
Yeah.
I got some clips of it, and I spoke with her in January.
Right.
ABC was previewing the show to the press.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I've seen, you're talking to everybody, and that's what I just love about you. You're always an inroads to what they're thinking. First of all, she's a doll. She's got a personality and a half from here to Kingdom Come, Roseanne does. She was such a big hit back then when the sitcoms were so hot, remember? Sitcoms were all the rage back at, I think that was the time. Wasn't it the Partridge Family? Well, it definitely was All in the Family.
Oh,
remember Archie Bunker and all that? Boy, talk about a racist. Boy, he would be a racist today under any level. They'd assassinate him, Gail Murphy. Archie Bunker, huh? Man, he'd be. You could never run the Archie Bunker show today. They'd kill you. They'd kill you.
They'll run it on TV Land or my TV all the time. It's
well, Gail, come to find out, they'd probably find out that the Partridge families were nothing but a bunch of perverts or something. The family was dysfunctional, having sex with each other. I mean, that's probably what the new version is. You know, come on. And then we'd find out on Gilligan's Island they were all gay. That's why they never procreated on there. I mean, come on. These are the shows for where we're at now, Gail. So, listen, Roseanne, I haven't seen the full disclosure of the first episode, but I so wish I had because I hear it's a hoot and a half. So there's a real funny thing about this show. So she comes out. They made it very political. There was the initial talks that it was going to be very political. They're saying now, reports today, that this show probably did about $25 million. Like, it blew it all away. Now, the second episode is tonight. I mean, the ratings on this thing are still rolling in, and they're like mesmerized. ABC is like, they're like peeing their pants over there. I mean, this is like winning the lottery many times over, you know? They're like really thrilled. They signed her up for a second season already.
Yeah.
You know, they probably gave her, you know, probably good health pills, health care, and everything else she needed to stay alive. That's a cash cow. Talk about a cash cow. Now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar comes out. We know the fantastic basketball player. He says, don't be fooled. Roseanne is really TV's most anti-Trump show. Very interesting. In Hollywood Reporter is a show out about that. He wrote a column, Gail, which says, you know, it's really anti-Trump. Now, and then, of course, TMZ's got a really stupid story out. They caught her in an elevator. And, you know, she did her usual ha-ha. I watched the video. It's a short video. It's on TMZ. They said, Trump responsible for my ratings. Ha-ha-ha, Roseanne Barr. And it's like, it's laughable. And they go on to make a little story out of it. And, of course, it's all bullshit. Because if you watch the video, she didn't say anything they're saying in here. And she didn't say it wasn't that. But they're making a bigger story to say that, you know, it's not about Trump and whatever. Reports are now that this show, Sarah Gilbert, who plays Darlene, she came out and said that the focus on the show is not going to be politics. It's going to be the dysfunctional family thing. But their real goal was just to show a dysfunctional family. What do you say to that, Gail?
Only the first two episodes.
So the show. So why did they lie? They said this was going to be about political stuff and things like that. That's not the case,
though. You know, the whole show is political anyway. I mean, if you remember at the height of Roseanne, they did a show on abortion. They did two actual episodes on it. So it's always been...
Abortion on a sitcom, you mean? They made it into a sitcom? It was abortion?
Yeah, well, they did two episodes on it. So
back when it was in its heyday, you mean?
In its heyday, yeah.
Really? Yeah, no. I mean, it's hard to believe abortion would be a topic for a comedy show in a sitcom, but I wouldn't put anything past them. No kidding.
All of the Family did episodes on abortion.
Who did?
Got an abortion, yeah.
Who did? Yeah. What's the other show?
I think it was Edith. Oh, All in the Family.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine that anybody would be laughing about killing people, but I guess they do that kind of shit. I don't really get it. It doesn't connect with my brain cells.
You know what? You can get a lot more done with sugar than you can with a brick to the back of the head, which is why sitcoms are much more popular than documentaries.
I think they're going to come back again, Gail, don't you?
I don't think they ever left.
Well, not in a big, big way like Bill Cosby, who we know is a pervert today. Always was a pervert, actually. But
The 80s was a real heyday.
Right. Not like that. I'm talking about like that.
So much Norman Lear stuff. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're coming back again like that.
People weren't afraid to talk about that stuff.
Gail, do you think you could get me a connection to make a sitcom about me and my life?
I think that we're all listening to it right now.
Okay, well, you got connections. I figured, what the hell? Yeah, but I want to be paid. I want a big contract, and I want them to give me, like, the money they're giving to Roseanne. That's big money, Gail. I'll give you a great commission if you can make it happen. I can score around with the best of them, Gail. I could do a hell of a sitcom out there. I can act, you know.
I'll tell you what I tell my clients. We live in a do-it-yourself world, so just set up a live cam in there, start streaming your shows live.
All right.
Didn't hurt Howard Stern.
Well, that's a good answer. Jim, for a minute, I thought she was going to say a do-it-yourself world, get off your ass and do it. I thought that's where she was going, but I feel better now.
He managed show business. I
don't know.
How much
Yeah, but I know you got the connections, and if I had you, and I was going to say if you would be following me with the briefcase as my like quasi-agent, but actually, in order to make this work with Gail, Jim, I'd have to have Gail in front of me, not behind me. You understand how that would work? And then she'd do it.
Yeah. That's right.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, having the strong woman out in front of me, as long as she can knock him down and get to where we got to go. All right, listen, we're running right out of time on Nozzle here, but this has been a great conversation. We never could get back to that Mexico thing, but we'll do that another day here on Nozzle. All right, listen, this is the most important part of the show here.
Okay.
This is the part where you give your prediction, okay? Now, being our honored guest here, Gail, today. Gail, please take 30 seconds and tell us your predictions, please.
Well, I think that Scott Pruitt is going to go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that he will go because the last two people that lost cabinet positions for in terms of who was the baddest boy, mm-hmm. he certainly was. And so I think I think that he will get fired. I think he might also be fired by a tweet, and that it won't be Trump that's doing it because he can't fire anybody. And that's my prediction.
All right. Well, I think it's interesting you say that. And, you know, the whole tweet thing, it may be done with a tweet. I mean, we're living in a new age today where Twitter is used for these kinds of crazy things. Listen, I think one thing for sure, Jim, is they should do frequent flyer miles for the Trump cabinet in the future. They'd make more money. Go ahead, Jim. What's your prediction?
Okay. I'll agree with on Pruitt's going to be gone, and my prediction will be in the Friday afternoon massacres that have been going on each week. Other predictions, if the invasions from Honduras and Central America keep coming through Mexico, we will take harsh action against Mexico for them to stop it. And it could be as harsh as cutting off all trade coming into the United States from Mexico.
All right. Very good. Well, listen, friends, two predictions from me. The first prediction is I think Roseanne and that show that's doing so well will definitely stay on political. I don't think they're going to burn the magic carpet ride because this show is killing it right now. So that's my first prediction. Even though they say they're not, they will. My second prediction is we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.